We've got the team together with the opinion and selections. Let's get it started. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Great to be with you on this Saturday morning. What a day it promises to be in Australian sport. Grand final day across there in Perth in the AFL. The Storm taking on Penrith in the prelim there in the NRL. And what a day of racing. Group 1 action returns to Sandown this afternoon, highlighted, of course, by the Group 1, the Underwood Stakes. And it's Golden Rose Day up there in Sydney at Rose Hill. And let's welcome in the team now to preview the Sandown meeting. Dean Lester, good morning to you. And it's just great to have Group 1 action back at Sandown. It's been a little while.
Has been, Gareth. Did you say 25 years? I think the year they ran the Oakley Plate there when Drum won, it might have been the last Group 1 race there. But fantastic track, hillside, and looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing Zaki. So we had a good entree last night and into a fantastic meeting today.
We've got the Turnbull, the Maccabi Diva, races like the Underwood today. What do you think these days, Dino, is the best lead-up races to the big Grand Slams coming up?
Well, I think since the Maccabi Diva and the Turnbull have been made Group 1s, they seem to be a bit more sought after, whereas the Underwood and the Caulfield Stakes used to be the only two Group 1s leading into the Caulfield Cup and the Cox Plate. So, it has changed a bit. I think it varies on horses' preparation. I think Zaki running today into the Caulfield Stakes, into the Cox Plate's a beautiful preparation. So, now looking forward to seeing him.
Very good morning to you, Gator.
Hello, mate.
Two great meetings today, one in Melbourne up there in Sydney as well with the Golden Rose. Your confident levels?
Yeah, well, I think the reality is, you know, whenever you've done the work, you should be pretty confident going in. Obviously, you know, as we touched on when we had a chat the other week, once the work's done and, you know, it's pretty much out of your control, a lot of stuff. And then it comes down to learning what went right and what went wrong after the race. So, but it is a fantastic meeting here, but obviously Golden Rose in Sydney as well. It's racing back at Rose Hill, which is awesome.
Warren Huntley, good morning to you. We're looking outside of the windows in Carlton. There's not a cloud in the sky, but when we had that track update there this morning, when we went out to Sandown and catch up with Tim Bailey, he mentioned that there's been a little bit of rain around that part of the world in the early hours of this morning. So it'd be interesting to see how this track plays.
Yeah, I think it'll play beautifully, Gareth, and yeah, a little bit of rain during the day won't hurt this to get their toe into the ground, so to speak, but yeah, I don't think the weather's going to have any influence on the way the track plays.
All right, then let's get stuck into this meeting, but before that, it's a good morning to Nicholas Quinn from the Tab. G'day, Quinny. He was there. He's disappeared today, Quinny, so I don't know where he is, so I might go through the markets there for that first race at Sandown, and the sprinters will do battle over the 1,000 metres at Sandown this afternoon, and the scratchings are clear. We've got the Tasmanian Galloper, DeRoach, at $12, Bless Her at $11. David Eustace gave How Romantic a good push this morning. She's first up at $5. So did Lloyd Kennewell with Esther LaRocca. She's a $2.60 chance. Twist of Fury is a $6 chance. Modira at $8. And Diamonds in the Sky at $7 as well. And then Queen Annabelle's the roughie at 70-1 here, Dino. How have you assessed the opening race at Sandown?
Surprise me here, Gareth. I think pretty happy it's not a leg of the early quaddy or anything. I'm a bit of a track tester here with Mo Deer because she's going to get a long way back, but I like her when she's right down in the weights and there's good speed up front. And without any great confidence, I'm going with Mo Deer from Esther LaRocca, scratched from last night, as Lloyd Kennewell explained to you. This is a mare in good form and with the claim gets in quite well also. DeRoche has got terrific Tassie form, first 1,000-metre run, and does rise sharply in the weights for winning first up on the synthetic, but she'll give a good sight. And I really like the trial of How Romantic. I don't know if she wins at 1,000 metres or next start at 11 or 1,200, but I think she's come up very well, and there's a real chance she could win first up. But as I said, not really ruling out much in the first. A slight leaning to Modia, 6-4-1-3.
Tough race to start the day there, Gator.
Isn't it? I mean, look, Esther LaRocca, I thought was really good, obviously, a weight for age last time. I don't think she's really a weight for age horse yet. She's battling it out with Portland Sky in September run for the Miners. Add to that, I don't think the inside rail was the A1 ground. So, think back to Mare's 90 with 54. She's going to take some catching. How Romantic resumes. Like then, I really liked her jumbo. She hasn't necessarily been a trial star in the past, but like what's happening there, I think she had easily the measure of Bless Her, key rival here. She's won two or three fresh, the miss. beaten two lengths and a bit of change in a Group 2 Rubiton Stakes in fast time. They're my main two. DeRoche, one okay in testing, but still a star form's easy to like. And both Diamonds in the Sky and Medea certainly in the game as well. But 4-3 mainly from 1 and 7.
How does this race pan out in the early battle here, Warren? Looks like there's a bit of pace on paper.
You would think so, Gareth. We know that Estee La Rocca's a fast horse and coming back from being on the speed at group level and form through the Inferno is holding up well. She'll be there. Near the inside, Twister Fury probably holds a spot. They varied the pattern slightly with Diamonds in the Sky last time, so it'll be interesting to see if we get another change in tactics or if they just ride her with that little bit of a sit off the speed. I would think Estee La Rocca comes off, maybe even crosses Twister Fury and DeRoche to the inside. She's a great 1,000-metre horse, Estee La Rocca, and she's going well. She gets a claim here, dropping back from group company. I think she's the one to beat outside of her. I think it's very even, but she's clearly the one to beat for me. 4 ahead of 6, Mo Deer, who won't be part of that speed battle. Maddie Lloyd's got a real good affinity with this mare. She seems to be able to even get her to settle a little bit closer than she had done early in her career. 8, Queen Annabelle. She's not a regular winner. She's run well in better races than this, but she seems to run a similar type of race wherever you line her up. But another one who gets down in the weights and can be strong late. 3, How Womantic. Liked a recent jump out. She looks to be coming to hand well down the back straight there at Sandown. 4, 6, 8, 3.
You're surprised that Queen Annabelle's $71 and $11 then, Warren?
Flies under the radar a little bit. I do think that's over the odds. Whenever you back Queen Annabelle, you'd want to be backing her each way. She does look over the odds to my eye there.
So Dean Lesser in the first race, 6, 4, 1, and 3. Gator with the 4 from the 3, 1, and 7. Warren Keane on the 4. Estee La Rocca here over the 6, 8, and 3. Let's have a look at the second race at Sandown. It's over the 1,400 metres, benchmark 78. You can scratch, of course, the 1, Mystery Shot. Take out the 17, Kalashani Lad, the 18, Camborne, and the 19, Translator. And Nicholas Quinn is ready to go. Good morning to you, Quinny.
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, all. And I'll just add to race one. There's been a couple of decent bets on one of the roughies there. Number 2, Bless Her, including 1,000 each way at the 17, 1,000 each way at the 15. And she's now all the way down to 11. Estee La Rocca has been popular at the top of the market, as has How Womantic. Moving on to race number 2 on the program and a well-backed favourite here. Cyril Leo Miss, 360 initially, has been back from 360 into 310 through the week, and that support has continued on race day, 310 into 280. Foxy Frieda's had support, now an $8.50 second elect. Then we've got Milton Park, 10. Mimi's Award, 10. Embolism, a $13 chance. Frankie Pino at 14. But the best backed runner, clearly the favourite to make it back-to-back victories this campaign in Cyril Leo Miss.
And Cyril Leo Miss, Simon Weil gave her a really good push this morning, Gator, on the first word.
Well, it was a really strong return win, wasn't it? I loved the late strength to her. I mean, Camber, who's no slouch, loomed up to win the race. He was coming off a terrific trial, that runner-up, and he's run well around some pretty smart horses. He returned gelded, but this girl put him away easily. She was pipped second up last time, but she ran into a handy one. She ran well in a Group 3. So, look, she's got a bit of weight, but it's only a 78 race. I think she's better than him. Embolism, I think, is a value danger. Just needs a bit of luck from that draw, but I like the way he hit the line in his jump out. I'm not sure what happened first up last prep. It was in the too bad to be true for file. But then beating a length in a Group 1 would win a lot of 78 races. Beat home Camden that day quite easily. So it does tie in really nicely with Cyril Aramis, doesn't it? Mimi's Award resumes. She's got a bit of quality. Foxy Frieda's trialling quite well as well. And she's the other key hope, I think. 12, 5, 15, 14.
How have you assessed this race, Warren?
I'm with Cyril Aramis. I think she's a promising mare, as Simon Wilde outlined. She just does like to get her toe in. She's quite a strong girl, so rock hard track wouldn't suit her, but she was terrific winning first up. She'd only improve with that run, and she's drawn a nice barrier to get an economical run. Barbie's Fox, freshen up, and that form through So You Assume from her last run looks good after last night. She's very consistent. 5, Embolism, gelded. Like Gator, I was impressed with what I've seen from him, the way he worked through the line in a recent jump out. He looks to have come back well. 14, Foxy Frieda was back near the inside in a recent trial. She had a terrific preparation, last preparation, form right throughout her career's been good. No doubt she'll improve with the run, but the claim for Alana Kelly's a positive. 12, 13, 5, 14.
Big field, Dino. How do they sort themselves out in the early part here?
Yeah, big field, Gareth, but often I think you can sort them out as a good speed in the general. He can lead at any distance. At 1,400, he's going to be running along. Do you reckon he's got the blinkers back on? Snowfire not far away, and Cerulea Mist will use the gate. I think she'll win again. I think she's a fair bit better than 78 grade, and I think she can continue on her winning way to beat Foxy Frieda, who, as Warren said, had a very good winter campaign. She hasn't had a long break. I think she'll probably track Cerulea Mist into the race. Then she's got to get past her. She does have a good turn of foot. I agree with the boys. Embolism's been flying. He did fail first up, but that was like a first up Colty sort of run. Well, he's not that anymore. He's now been gelded, and he looked to really have his mind on the job in that recent jump out. He hit the line with great purpose. Look for him to be hitting the line here. And Milton Park, I just think he did a good job to win at Cranbourne because he's a horse that's a big actioned horse. Don't know if the tight Cranbourne track suited him, but he got the job done. The query is that he's right up in the weights, but I think the mares are well placed here in Cerulea Mist and Foxy Frieda. 12, 14, 5 and 6.
So the team keen on the favourites. Cerulea Mist there at $2.70 currently with the tab. Dino, 12, 14, 5 and 6. Gaeta, 12, 5, 15 and 14. And Warren Huntley, 12, 13, 5 and 14. Really good three-year-old race is the third over the 1,400 metres. And Quinny, only the one scratching. Of course, Sandy Prince went around last night.
And we lose 13 cents in the dollar through deductions as a result. We've now got Lena's Legend at $2.40 favourite initially this morning and backed already from $2.40 into $2.25. Heads the market now from Taunting, a $5 second elect. Jagannal Magnate at $8.50. Extreme Flight, $8.50. Cooled has been spiked at the longer odds. Now a $10 chance in from 12. Manhattan Times, 11. And Three Kings has had support as much as 41 into 26. But Lena's Legend, the best backed runner here to make it a hat-trick of victories this campaign.
Calvin McAvoy gave a good push there for Three Kings at a price each way in the third race. I know that Danny O'Brien's happy with Lena's Legend. And it was an interesting conversation today, or this morning, Warren, of course, with Michael Hintmont regarding Taunting, that he's had a few setbacks with his promising three-year-old this time in.
He looked a little bit claustrophobic at the Valley too, didn't he? Winkers go on here in a wider draw on the spacious hillside track, 1,400 metres. I think that'll suit him. I'm keen on Lena's Legend here. I think this is a very good piece of patient placement. Would have been tempting to perhaps try and have a crack at the Stud Stakes, and he wouldn't have been out of place there last night. But now just going from 13 to 1,400 metres and racing through the grades and taking the easier option. He can settle on the speed. He can control the race almost, I think. And he's the best of the day for me. I think he's a really nice horse, and like the fact that he's been kept to this race and then perhaps onwards and upwards to the Guineas after that. Three for me, ahead of seven, Taunting. It gets the winkers on. We'll appreciate the clear air with that draw and the spacious track. 10 Extreme Flight. The blinkers went on. He won well. His form right through this first racing preparation has been good, but the blinkers certainly sparked him up. Won in a dominant fashion last time. And six, Manhattan Times. Also won well in an easier race, but really strong through the line in Adelaide last time. Keen on three, ahead of seven, 10 and six.
Dino, we've got Taunting going forward. Do you think Cooled would take up the running once again?
Oh, I wouldn't think so, Gareth. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised there. I think Lena's Legend will use the gate pre-determined. The first starter has a degree of tactical speed. I think deprivation won't be that far away. Cooled will be somewhere in the mix. And look, it's going to need a good ride from the outside draw, Cooled, but I think he's a little bit over the odds. He's a horse I've always liked. I thought he'd win the sires back in the autumn and just got lost that day. And even first up at Gosford, still wayward. And I think on the recommendation of James McDonald that he was sent to Melbourne because he doesn't really handle the Sydney way of going. So I'm going to go with him just at a price. I think Lena's Legend, no knock on him, and you wouldn't want to lose on the race if he won because he's going so well. And as Warren said, they're just building his form towards maybe a race like the Guineas. Manhattan Times, I think, is a really nice horse coming over from Adelaide. He's had the confidence boosting two wins, and I think he'll be hitting the line well. And Taunting, away from the Valley, onto a bigger track, gear change, rolling forward. I think he'll run a cheeky race. But I'll be playing the race around numbers 9 and 3. 9, 3, 6 and 7.
I think if my memory serves me right, Dino, Cool was the horse that Wayne Hawks and Wayne's World in the autumn was predicting, and he didn't quite get to the Golden Slipper, but one of their better chances. So obviously he's always showed a lot back at home.
Yeah, no, he was the horse. I think I texted you about the horse called Safe, who I thought would win the sires. And he said, no, it would be Cool that would win the sires. And I see Safe's now in Hong Kong and Cool's running here today. So there we go.
Are you with Lena's Legend here, Gator?
Yeah, I am. Obviously, a pretty stylish maiden win. But it was the last start, wasn't it? I mean, heavily backed. The runner-up is no slouch. It's a really good horse, I think. And just touched him up. And there was gaps behind. The race rated better than Sorello Miss on the day. She's been group competitive. So pretty keen the one to beat. In saying that, I'm a bit of a fan of taunting. I just think one more run now off a good return, given, you know, pulled up lame. He didn't get around the valley. Or a whole lot of issues there. I think he's a really good horse and a danger if he's right. But I'm now, you know, months between runs, I'm just thinking this tops him off for next time and then we'll jump on. Cooled, led and won well, fresh and useful time. There were gaps behind there as well. And Jungle Magnate perhaps next. But 3.79 from four.
So 3.79 and four there for Gator. Dino likes the 9 from the 3, 6 and 7. And Warren Huntley likes the 3 from the 7, 10 and 6. We might hear from Danny O'Brien with Lena's Legend. Michael Felgate caught up with him earlier on in the week.
Yeah, he'll go to the Sandown race, Michael. Just thought that the 1,400 at Sandown is an ideal progression for him at the moment. You know, if he could win impressively again, we'd be very keen to take him to the Caulfield Guineas off that.
Race number 4 on the program is for the 3-year-old fillies. It's the Jim Maloney Stakes over the 1,400 metres, and Quinny's scratchings are clear.
And it's all about the favourite here, Zuzarella, the best backed runner at Sandown today, 240 into 215. She now dominates the market. From Mac and Cheese, a $6 second elect. Literary Magnate, $6.50. Fortunate Kiss, $10. There's been a little bit of money around for Picarones, a $16 chance now in from 18, but about 75% of the money has been for Zuzarella to hopefully make it a winning hat trick since kicking off her campaign.
Dino, this is another intriguing 3-year-old race. Is she short enough, Zuzarella?
She's probably short enough, but she's probably still the winner, I think, Gareth.
Yep.
Who knows? I mean, she gets around the valley well, but she's such a big strider and big actioned horse. Maybe 1,400 at Sandown Hillside's going to suit her even better. And I like that she's drawn out again. I wouldn't want to see her cluttered up just yet. And I think Brett Preble's got the option sitting back, just watching the race unfold pouncing on them when he wants to. She's got that sort of great turn of foot, and I think she can run well. I think there's one a little bit over the odds in Docker. She started her preparation all wrong. She over-raced badly first up and then had issues at her second up run. Paddy Payne sort of reset her, got her back to the provincial she won at Ballarat, beating older horses, and then last start was terrific. I think she's ready to step up to 1,400 and run a cheeky race at odds. One, Biscayne Bay, I think, ran well first up, as did Mac and Cheese. They all come through that same form line and they can all run well, but I think Zuzarella's got them covered again. But the one from outside that form line is Doker, and I think she's the one over the odds. 2.713.
And I know on the game plan on Thursday, Gator, you were really keen on this unbeaten filly for the Freedmans.
Yeah, it was some win, wasn't it? The Atlantic Jewel. I mean, you just don't see that all that often. I know the rail was off, certainly early in the day at the Valley, but she still sat wide, made a move before the turn and raced away from them. And I'm still trying to work out how Larkspur Rain got run down last night by Suradair. So that confuses me, but I think she'll be strong at 1,400. It was only her second career start. The race rated better than the boys, which has never happened all through the generation. So she's the one to beat. Literary Magnate was good, though, at the Valley behind her. She didn't really handle the track well. She went for a tight run and didn't like that at all. And when there was more room, she really found the line. And no surprise the Winkers go on. 1,400 and big track. Same story, Mac and Cheese. Hit the line race fastest there. Big track, 1,400, tick, tick. And Fortunate Kiss is the one that chased Lena's Legend last time with Daylight to third in good time. I think there's a good race in her as well. 2.5, 3 and 8.
Are you also with the $3.50 favourite at the moment anyway for the 1,000 guinea Zuzarella here, Warren?
I am, Gareth. It's hard to tip against her. She's impressed every time she's been to the races, and she's given every impression that she'll be suited stepping up beyond 1,200 metres. So she was able to win a stakes race at 1,200 metres at only her second start. Did it in good style, form through that race, held up well last night, Larkspur Run, and I think that's the key form reference. I'm with her. through the same form line. I don't think there's going to be a lot between Mac and Cheese, Biscayne Bay and Literary Magnet. You could mount a case for all of those. I put Mac and Cheese, who she begins cleanly and starts honing her racing skills. She'll win a good race down the track. She's just still learning, but she's got talent. Biscayne Bay up to 1,400 metres, second run for the Marin. Eustace Stable can run well again and will appreciate the rising trip. And Fortunate Kiss as Gator Outline chasing Lena's Legend last time and chased well. She looks to be very promising. And again, I think the little step up to 1,400 metres is in her favour. 2-3-1-8.
2-3-1-8 there for Warren. 2-7-1-3 for Dino. And 2-5-3-8 there for Gator in the Jim Maloney, which is race 4 there at Sandown. Let's have a look, of course. We move to race number 5 there at Sandown today. And it's the Sandown Stakes, Group 3 level. Scratchings here. You can take out John Worsfold is a scratching here, Quinny. And what is the market doing now?
The money has come for Elephant. Was posted at $3.50 initially on Wednesday and was on the second line of betting behind Cherry Tortoni. The market's totally switched. Elephant's been $3.50 into $2.40. Bets along the way include $2,500 at $3.20, $2,500 at $3, and $2,500 at $2.80. Cherry Tortoni now in the second line of betting at $3.30. Harbour View's at $5.50. Ziegfeld 7, Romance at 10, Luna Fox the outside of the field now at $17, but about 80% of the money has been with the favourite Elephant. It's been a bit of a theme throughout the first half of the program, some really well-backed favourites.
Five-horse field here or six-horse field here, Gator, another tactical battle you would imagine. How do you think this race will pan out and who are you tipping?
Look, I think there's, even though it's a small field, I think there's four genuine winning hopes and you can make a really good case for all four of them. For that reason, I thought Romance is the one that went up the wrong price. I think he's flying. He was luckless in a Group 1 last week. He went over the line beautifully, very wide at the valley, and somehow kept closing with a horror run. Look, it's not an easy race to win this, but I think he's just over the odds. Cherry Tortoni tracked a boom horse in Ayrton last time. Went by him, so it's a good scalp. One problem, though. Harbour View's nailed him. And so it's obviously pretty similar form. And Elephant, gee, I like his fight there at Mini Valley. He certainly had his chance, but Superstorm nutted him. He actually came back at that horse when he was challenged. And obviously we know that form well and truly franked with Sierra Sue non-conformist last week. I'm looking forward to the race. 4-6-2-3 for me.
David Brown, happy with Elephant, how he's trained on since finishing second to Superstorm in the Fiend. And James Cummings says, dropping back in trip and maybe getting a soft lead with Siegvald. Well, it's nearly D-Day for him today, but he should run a good race here in an interesting contest, Warren.
Yeah, Siegfeld's probably one of the on-speed runners here, if not the on-speed runner. He does drop back from 1,700 metres, and I think he strikes some a very good field, despite the fact that it's not big in numbers. I think he might struggle. I think Elephant won't be that far away from him. He may well control the race and at least give a sight, but I think there'll be a few stronger than him late. He doesn't really have the ability to quicken to my eye. I'm with Elephant dropping back from Wait for Age. I think he's going very well, obviously, right throughout his career, but he was the right horse to bring here to Australia and he nearly got a good prize last time. I'm with him. 2 and a 6, Cherry Tortoni. He ran well first up. Harbour View's got past him. Not going to be a lot between them, you wouldn't think, wherever they finish. I thought that Cherry Tortoni just might improve a bit more with Harbour View's coming off such a long break, but it was a terrific training performance to have him go so well first up. Romancer basically had a bye in a Group 1 last week, and no surprise to see him backing up quickly. 2-6-3-4.
Dana, what are you doing here? Because there are a few chances despite the small field.
Yeah, well, you know, the one I've virtually left out is the Group 1 winner in the field in Luna Fox. So that shows you in that second up it was when he won the Guineas last prep. So it's a fascinating race. I'm going with Cherry Tortoni. I liked his first up run and I just think he'll be, you know, just that little weight turnaround. I think Hillside will suit him, but I'm trusting that form. I think Harbour Views will run well also. That was a great training effort for him to win first up, but I think staying, you know, relatively in the same distance range and not trying to lengthen out too much, which he's often done in the past, I think will suit him better. I'm giving a chance to Elephant, but he's not as well weighted as he should be in this race for that placing in the Fian, but the immediate form about the Fian is great. So he's progressing, and you know what's the ceiling on him ratings wise. But he is paying a fair penalty for that placing last start. And Romancer, as the boys have outlined, just cruised through the line last week under no pressure. So even though he's never been really a backup horse, he didn't have much of a run last Saturday. 6, 3, 2, and 4.
It's a difficult one with Elephant because he's got so much ability. Dino, he's a lightly raced 5-year-old, but if they want to compete in these big Group 1s, they've got to do a few points, don't they, really, trying to get there?
Yes and no.
Or would Gareth, would you have a different path if you were their racing manager?
Oh, it doesn't
manager?
Matter. It's done now. Yeah. But he could have won the Open Handicap last start and gone to about an 88, 89 and won today and be about a 97, would have got in the field. I don't think it cost him a kilo or so, but he's they've taken a big gamble and he's got to keep progressing because he's now going to go into the big league.
6-3-2-4 for Dino, 4-6-2-3 for Gator, and Warren Huntley 2-6-3-4. So despite only six horses going around in the Sandown Stakes, our team have different horses on top. We'll take a quick break. It's 8:30. When we return, we'll have a look at the quaddie leagues here at Sandown, including, of course, the Group 1, the Underwood Stakes, which features the Cox Plate favourite, Saki.
Woodside Park Stud standing three outstanding value stallions in 2021. Fox Wedge already with 22 stakes winners and 5 Group 1 winners, the perfect Voba stallion at 10 grand. Rich Enough, Britain Tycoon's highest time form rated son, already with multiple stakes winners at 8 grand. Toes and Stardom, a $3 million yearling, unbeaten 2-year-old stakes winner and dominant Toorak and McKinnon winner at 7 grand.
Toes and Stardom dropped from the sky and won the Emirates.
Call Mark Dottermaid at Woodside Park Stud.
RSN Central with Gareth Hall.
This week on Your Story, part two of my chat with tipster David Gately as he opens up about his philosophies in life and racing.
I don't do regrets. I think I would tell myself, go both feet in and don't do it by halves.
Part two with Gator, this Wednesday on Your Story. Or if you missed part one, just download the podcast.
RSN Central with Gareth Hall, 10:30 weekday mornings. RSN 927.
Only here at the Victorian Spring Racing Carnival do we examine all horses before the carnival's biggest races and scan every horse before the Melbourne Cup to prevent injuries. Only here has the off-the-track program supported retired racehorses since 2012. And do we reset careers for the horses that need it most. Only here do we cheer like this. That's because there's nothing else, nowhere else, like the Victorian Spring Racing Carnival.
Action and fun with Hancock's Racing No. 10 Limited. Own and race 7 horses for 3 years, $1,450, no more to pay. All by top 20 size in leading stables in 5 states. For PDS, call 03-5274-9171. Website hancocks.com.au.
Peter Cardamone from Cardamone Real Estate. I love my real estate. I also call the AFL footy.
Majacek off the ground. Aaron Hamble from Cunnington and Majacek made them pay.
But where I do my best work is in the Goulburn Valley area. If you're looking to buy, sell or relocate, visit cardamonerealestate.com.au. And across Shepparton, Kiala, Maroopna, Talamba and Jatura and right across the Goulburn Valley area, you're in Cardamone country.
To create a high-performance machine, equal parts art and automobile. That was the brief. Lauded and awarded like any masterpiece. There's always critics. But with 15 premium Harman Kardon speakers and the new bimodal exhaust, it's kind of hard to hear them. The new Kia Stinger.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne race. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Time to preview the quaddie leagues here on the Melbourne Form panel. Of course, it's race number 6 over the 1,800 metres. And only word, still trying to get out, I think, after last night at Moonee Valley, is the only scratching here, Quinny.
And there's been good money for a last start winner in Floating Artist, looking to get three on the bounce today, and has been the best back. 370 into 320 through the week, and the support has continued on race day. 320 into $3.10. Skyman, who started a clear favourite in the race, won by Floating Artist last start, has gone from 390 out to 460. Dr. Drill's been the second best backed runner in the race, $8 initially into 480. Then we have Don't Doubt Dory, $5.50. Zaydani, a $10 chance. Furion's been specced, 18 into 15. And there's been even money for the outside of the field, Wentwood, including a bit of a 1,000 each way at the 41. But Floating Artist, the best backed runner in the first leg of the quaddie, with each way money for Dr. Drill.
David Eustace Warren on the first word identified that Floating Artist is the stable's best chance for the meeting today.
That's good to hear, Gareth. Geez, going very well. It was a really smart, proactive ride from T.A. Nugent last time to get into a forward spot. And you can see something similar happening here. And yeah, he's going very well, and maybe onwards and upwards to some better races, some fringe stakes races around the carnival. And he's on the right path to do that. The little step up to 1,800 metres will suit him. I'm with him. Head of the stable mate, Dr. Drill. He's been up at 2,000 metres and beyond, two starts ago at 2,500 metres, but he does look quite versatile. Back to the 1,800 metres here. Probably had the toughest run in the race taken out by De Graves last time. He battled on really well there. Seven Skyman, he's chased Floating Artist recently, and seems to have a little bit of a gap to bridge to get to him, but he's getting fitter. Tongue tie in the pre-race earmuffs go on. A couple of tweaks of the gear there. And Don't Doubt Dory was good winning last start. He's got a good winning strike rate overall, and he'll be fitter. 5179.
What's your speed map here, Dino? And then your tips, please.
Well, it was probably a little bit speculative, Gareth, but the Macedon Lodge team have taken that out of the equation and announced that Cormorant's going to lead, so that's fine. He can lead with the blinkers back on, and he can roll along at a good gallop, so he probably leads the likes of Floating Artist, Fury, and then probably Skyman, Don't Doubt Dory next pair. I'm with Floating Artist. I just think he's one that is racing through the grades and using the class system and building, and I don't think we've seen anywhere near the bottom of him yet. That was a good win last start, and what I liked was the last little bit of the race. He dug right in, and I think he can win again. The dangers I've put in for second, number seven, Skyman. Probably barrier one again means he's going to be a little bit closer. I like him when he's sailing down the outside running on, but he hasn't had that luxury this preparation yet, but he's going well, and I think he's the main danger. Furion needed that run, probably need a good solid hit out at Flemington. He'll be fitter for that day out, and Dr. Drill, who ran well at the Valley last start. But no, I think Floating Artist can win again at 5, 7, 3, and 1.
And what do you make of a horse like Cormorant there, Dino, who failed at Moonee Valley, and now he goes to the front? Your expectations with him, with Kelly claiming three?
Yeah, well, he was virtually at the end of his career with Coolmore. I think he was more of a pacemaker than anything, so he knows the role of leading, and he ran a very good fourth doing that one day in a high-class race, but he looked all at sea around the valley, so he might improve on the bigger track, big long straights, galloping track, bit to what he's used to. He could certainly improve.
All right, then, Gator, what are you doing here in the first leg of the quaddie?
Yeah, look, I'm with Floating Artist as well. I saw it similarly to Dino, in that I liked the strength on and through the line there. I did have a big weight advantage on Defibrillate, but held him, and he was quite good last night in a handy race. It was an on-pace dominated race, so there's that to factor in. But meeting them on similar weight terms, perhaps with still some upside to come, and gets a good run again. Dr. Drill, a huge effort last time, wide, went early. And just as those leaders fainted, he was sort of left a sitting duck, and he was still there swinging at the end. And there's a month between runs. Again, I'm with Dino with Skyman. I just think ridden too warm last time. What do they do from gate one? Fury and Don't Doubt Dory in the mix, 5-1-7-3.
Dino, 5-7-3-1 in the first leg of the quaddie. Gator, 5-1-7-3. And Warren also keen on the 5 Floating Artists, 5-1-7-9. Race number 7, of course, is the feature. Scratchings are clear. It's the Group 1 Underwood Stakes over the 1,800 metres. Quinny, can you give me $1.50, Saki?
I could. I'd probably need to update the resume after doing so, Gareth, because they'd have me removed from the building pretty quickly. but hopefully he can get the job done. And best of luck to this punter who's looking to turn 1,000 into just under 47,000 should Zaki and Anamoy both win today. Zaki in the Underwood, Anamoy there in the Golden Rose. The other legs included Very Elegant in the George Main Stakes, and these are my two favourite. Untapped at the $1.65 in race 10 at Sandown on September 12th. And Very Sharp at $3.20 in race number 10 at Dubbo. So the last two legs of the day. So fingers and toes crossed for that punter. But Zaki dominates the market at $1.30. Probabil at 5. Superstorm 11. The Chosen One 19. 50 Stars 26. The Tab Bookies went the early crow there for the Cox Plate with Zaki doing an early payout yesterday. Let's hope that early crow doesn't stop the hot favourite today in the Underwood.
Let's hear what Danny O'Brien has to say regarding the chances of Superstorm in the Underwood.
But our guy's had a really good build-up to it. Yeah, he's a horse that Bob Peters has been very patient with, and he's really bloomed over the last 6 months. He's had the two runs, and he goes to Sandown as good as we can have him, and I think Sandown at 1,800 is just the perfect track and distance for him at this stage of his career.
And here's Annabelle Neesham talking about Zaki's chances.
Well, there's certainly no natural leader in there, but he's ridden very well, sort of rolling along as we've seen in the Hollandale and the Doomben Cup. He was ridden pretty prominently last campaign, so I'll leave that up to Craig. You know, I think you can't get too technical with a five-horse field. We'll have to just ride him on field, but... yeah, I think you know, we've got to be very respectful. He's, I know, extremely short in the market, but it's a good field, and I think it'll be a really exciting race.
Dino, it was interesting with the tap there paying out early for Zaki in the Cox Plate.
Well, it was, Gareth, and there was a bit of a hold too when you saw some of the bets that were there. So, yeah, that's a... It's a bit of a weight to carry. It's an early crow, isn't it?
Do you reckon Very Elegant's using it as motivation in her stalls there, Dino?
Well, the punters have got paid out are happy.
Yes.
The punters that, the owners and connections of Zaki have got to probably defeat the early crow. But look, this is the building, the next phase of his preparation. We've got to see vision of him on Tuesday working at Sandown, having a look around, and he did just that. He had the ears pricked the whole way around. So he took it all in. What he's done with every run in Australia, to me, is get better and better. And I can't wait to see him today. It would have been good to see more of a contest or a bit of a tear away and roll along and give him a bunny to chase. But anyway, he'll do his own thing. And when I think Probabil will run the Exactor, I think she was pretty good last week. As Jamie Richard said, probably time to get her away from the handicaps back to wait for age. And she can run well. 50 Stars did a lot of work mid-race last time. A bit weak late, but third up as an older stallion might improve. And Superstorm for fourth. But looking forward to seeing Zaki in Melbourne. 2514.
Have you purchased a Zaki hat yet or a T-shirt, Gator?
Singlet. clearly. 13 degrees, mate. So it's singlet weather. But look, he is 14 to 1800 second up. It's the only little chink I could find. But I mean, if he's doing that at 1400, he's not a 1400 metre horse by any stretch of the imagination. So it was an outstanding return. We know that. Some real substance on the clock in a couple of Queensland wins had me going through the history looking at Martin Powell's sort of form. So. Yeah, I guess we better tip him. Probably all a logical danger, Superstorm, 50 Stars. So 2, 5, 4, and 1.
Warren, I guess the question is, how do we make some money out of this race?
Well, probably it's a one out in the quaddy and hopefully get some values through the other legs of the quaddy and ultimately through multis. Gareth, $1.30 may well end up being a value price. I'm hard to tip against. It's impossible for me to tip against him, but and the rise to 1800 metres, given that it doesn't look like there's no Vaux Rogue here, so it'll be a tactical race, so it'll be a gentle rise in distance, so to speak. And look, he looks like he'll settle into a forward spot. He's got tactical versatility and he's got a great turn of foot, and he's arguably the best horse, certainly challenging Very Elegant for that mantle. So have to tip him. 2, had a 5 Probabil. The fact that we haven't had a lot of rain overnight and into today is a positive for her back to the wait for age conditions. 4 Superstorm was a good ride, a good win, and with the modest tempo in the Fian, he was able to settle a little bit closer. That's a possibility again today. Blinkers are off and the winkers go on. and 50 Stars. I've got in his next best. It's leaving out the Chosen One and outside Azaki. I've got no knock on the Chosen One at all. It just didn't fit in. 2-5-4-1.
2-5-1-4 for Dino, 2-5-4-1 for Gator, and 2-5-4-1 for Warren in the Underwood Stakes. So, of course, the team with Saki there in that Group 1. Let's have a look at race number 8 on the program there at Sandown. And just having a look at the scratchings here. And my computer's just frozen. But here we go.
Number 7.
There we go. Thank you, Quinny. Number 7 is out. And what's the market doing?
Lord Bladderstock comes out there and we lose 13 cents in the dollar. The other runners all go around, including the well-backed favourite in Shalo, who's now a $3 favourite. Was 370 initially on Wednesday when the market opened and has been the punter's pick. Ironclad, a $5 equal second elect now with King of Hastings. Of the duo, King of Hastings has trimmed up slightly in from 550. Sosie Bond's been well-backed on an each-way basis and has firmed from 290 into 270 to run a place. He's $9.50 to salute. Newhart, $9.50. Hightail at $10. Galaxy Raider's been specced at the longer odds, 26 into 19. Be Good to Your Mother, 23. And then Met Spectrum, a $34 chance. But the best-backed runner, and it has been a theme throughout the day, is the favourite.
What do you make of this favourite, shall I hear, Gator?
Well, she's the one that I would have selected on top, clearly, had she drawn a bit wider. Same story with Aussie Nugget in the last race. But I just hate those inside draw for off-speed runners. The hillside, I might be outsmarting myself. Certainly has happened before. But she was such a dominant win first up last year. I mean, half the planet was on her. She was off the map and won really well. I liked her trial. I know she's never really a trial star, but I thought she went really nicely. I think Newhart's perhaps a value danger. Good enough to thrash Mystic Journey. It weighed for age in February. One fresh last prep. This race has just got a few holes in it, and I think this is the horse that went up probably the wrong odds, around $14, $15 early doors with Cab. King of Hastings, forgive file last time, $1,300's ideal, $1,400's probably absolutely perfect, but $1,300's fine. And Hightail can improve off a couple of forgivable runs. So 2, 6, 5, and 8 there.
What do you make of a horse like Ironclad there, Gator?
Oh, look, he's in the game. Obviously a complete forgive run first up, wide and lame. That'll slow you up. He won a high rating race second up last prep on speed, but that was 1600. So I just don't think 1300 metres second up is the right recipe. But, you know, I've been wrong before.
What are you doing with this favourite here, Warren?
I'm giving her a great chance. Great insight from Archie Alexander earlier on about the way she trials compared to the way she races. Before I get to that, Gareth, I've just received a text message from Tim Bailey, track manager out at Sandown. I've had 1 mil of rain since 7 a.m. and a heavy shower has just passed. He thinks that's probably the end of it, but the track will now be somewhere between the 4 and the 5. So okay. A mil of rain with a heavy shower since 7 o'clock at Sandown. So just an update there. I'm with Shalo as the most likely winner here. She's going to run well first up. You would think she'll be strong late. Newhart looks to have trialled up well to have the debut over here after building a very good record in Tassie. Ironclad, that lameness first up, slight query, but you've got to trust the Will Clarkin stable. If they've got him over here, then he must be over those issues. It might be a run to help reset his preparation and get him going onto something over 1,600 metres plus, but have such respect for the stable, I've included him. And so Sabon looks to have jumped out well enough to resume here. 6-2-3-1.
One of our loyal listeners, Birragara Phil, Sosie Bond, surely, Dino. First up, love Sandown.
Yeah, Birragara's got posters of Sosie Bond on his wall. He's, yes. He's won a few, but he's got posters there, and I think Sosie Bond will run really well. Shalo, it's been a very steady build-up with her preparation, two trials and a jump out, and she kicks off today, and as Gator said, you'd love her to have drawn a bit wider, but I think she's the best talent at this stage of their relative careers in this race, and on the limit, I'm going with her, but she'll need everything to go right. Sosie Bond, I think, will run well. I think this is a very good grade of race for him, and he's a good hillside horse. He won the Eclipse last season, beating Homesman. So first up at this sort of trip's ideal, and that little bit of rain's perfect for him. Galaxy Raider, obviously we don't race Saturday grade much here at Hillside, so he doesn't get much of a chance to run here, but I think this sort of track will really suit him, and I thought his recent trial was really good. with the blinkers off, blinkers on race day. I know he doesn't win out of turn, but he's got a chance, and certainly Newhart, who is probably better known over further, but very effective early in the campaign as well, so he has to go in. But I thought this was the hardest race of the day, Gareth. Tricky race for me, 6-1, 9 and 2.
So there's Dino's numbers, 6-1, 9 and 2. Gator, 2, 6, 5 and 8. And Warren's with the 6 from the 2, 3 and 1. Let's have a look at the final event, race number 9 on the program, benchmark 84. Over the 1,800 metres, Scratch Adelaide Ace, the 1. Ballet Master, the 6, comes out. And King's Hair, the 14, is also out, along with the 19, Florida Dream there, Quinny.
Yeah, and it's a pretty competitive way to end the day, that is for sure. Hasseltoff's been the market mover in the last 24 hours, $6 into 5. Now one of three runners sharing favouritism at that quote, with Aussie Nugget and Flexible. The best backed runner overall, though, is Aussie Nugget. Was posted at $9 initially and has trimmed up throughout the course of the week, factoring the fact there have been very many minor deductions along the way with those four scratchings. Then we've got Thought of That, a $5.50 chance. Be Tempted, 13. Quay, 15. Horrifying, 16. War Critic's been specced at the longer odds, $16 available now. Lofty Star, 19. Humboshi, best the rest there at $23. Good betting race to end the day. The best backed in the last 24 hours, Hasseltoff, the best backed overall, Aussie Nugget.
Warren, have you got Thought of That out in front, dictating terms here in the final event?
I think he'll be there on speed. Seems to be the way that he races best, and he probably wouldn't want a lot more rain during the day. But as you were talking to Dave Eustace earlier, he's not completely one-dimensional, but I think the way this race shapes up, he's likely to be there. Lofty Star will hold a spot nearer the inside. Thought of That might even come across and sit outside of Lofty Star. They're the two most likely on-speed runners for me. This is a very even race, as Dino outlined the previous was. If we get the splits right, there's a chance of getting some value through the quaddie with the last couple of legs. I'm with 15 Hasseltoff. I thought he was a little bit over the odds before that trim that Quinny outlined recently. He's building to his next win. The step up to 1800 metres suits, and he'll probably be in a three wide train looking for clear air coming into the home straight. Don't think that'll be a bad spot. 15 for me, out of 11 Flexible, who won well first up. The Rising Distance suits was a terrific ride from Ollie to dive through and win first up, and you would think that she's on a path to races over 2,000 metres or so. Nice progression for her. Be Tempted was good getting down on the weights and winning last time. She's effective under those circumstances and here, and a little bit of rain, no disadvantage to her. Aussie Nugget hit the line well. Second up, I've got him in as next best. I thought it's a really even race, could have easily missed the winner. 15-11, 13-3.
What about your confidence in the lucky last here, Dino?
Gareth, I'm going with Flexible. I think she's come back well. She finished that last campaign in pretty good form as well, so there's nothing wrong with probably the last five or six runs. So I thought her first up win was good. Aussie Nugget was a terrific run last start, and it was just he's ready to win. As Gator mentioned a few minutes ago, he's got barrier one. And he does go up 8 kilos for that run, but he's well graded and can run well, and third up is ideal. The one that's going right down in the scale is Hasseltoff, number 15, down 7 kilos on his third up placing last start. And I think about 1,800 as far as he wants, but it's a distance I think he can be very effective at. And Be Tempted, who was a long odds winner last start, but Sandown Hillside really suits her. Getting down in the weights really suits her, and she can be competitive again. 11, 3, 15 and 13.
So you didn't like the barrier for Aussie Nugget then, Gator. So which way did you lean here in the final event?
Look, I thought of That might be back. So if he is, he can certainly win a benchmark 84. It was a really strong win at Sale. Look, I know it was no swooper's track, but he ran along at a good speed. I think that's the key. But the strength late was exceptional. Overall time, very, very good. Winning form behind. So if it's a level playing field or on pace is advantaged, it helps as well. Let's see as we get closer to race 9. Aussie Nugget, yeah, or some sort of finale at the Valley. The only horse quicker than him home all day was Forgot You. One 100th of a second quicker, and he was an impressive winner again last night. Flexible, good, strong win first up with weight. Extra 200, big tick. And she maps better than a few key rivals here. She's certainly in everything. And Be Tempted, the one I think is the wrong price, as I look at my tab app here, $13. 8, 3, 11, 13.
So 8, 3, 11 and 13 for Gator, 11, 3, 15 and 13 there for Dino, and 15, 11, 13 and 3 for Warren in the final event. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the team's best bets and their quaddie at Sandown.
Spring is here and it's time to play. This Saturday with Tab for all races at Rosehill and Sandown. Place a tote win bet, and if your horse runs second, third, fourth, or even fifth, get a bonus bet back up to $50. Yep, that's bonus bets back all the way down to fifth on all races at two big tracks, so download the app today. Tab, long may we play.
Excludes SA and WA residents. First online tote win bet only. TNC's a website. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers at 1-800-858-858.
Team up with the professionals and cover your falls from 24 hours of age with HQ Insurance. No excess on life-saving surgery claims, agreed value, fall rate guarantee, and the optional extended fall policy until the 2023 yearling sales. Be sure, insure with HQ.
That means another Winning Edge spring racing selection could be landing in your inbox. Every Saturday, Winning Edge will send you industry-leading tips and ratings direct from Australia's best pro punters. And right now, first-time members get a 50% discount. Head to winningedgeinvestments.com, click on membership options, and use the promo code RSN in capitals. This spring, treat your betting like a business and invest intelligently with winningedgeinvestments.com.
Half, Whitey and The Breakfast Club.
Hope you're enjoying one of the great sporting weekends on the calendar. Monday from 6, we'll wrap up all the drama from the AFL Grand Final in Perth. We'll build up to the big one for the NRL. Looking forward to Grand Final weekend in their world. We'll discuss all the Group 1 action in racing from across the country and the Wallabies v Argentina. Plenty to talk about Monday from 6. We'll talk to you then.
The Breakfast Club, 6 till 8.30 weekdays on RSN 927.
Thanks to the Tab.
The new Nissan Navara SL is here, and it's in stock right now. Purchase a new Nissan Navara SL Dual Cab 4x4 and choose a selected bonus accessories pack worth up to $1,500. Plus, every new Navara includes our standard 5-year warranty and roadside assist. Test drive the ute that can take you absolutely anywhere. Available now at your local Nissan dealer. T's and C's apply.
Only here at the Victorian Spring Racing Carnival do we examine all horses before the carnival's biggest races and scan every horse before the Melbourne Cup to prevent injuries. Only here has the off-the-track program supported retired racehorses since 2012. And do we reset careers for the horses that need it most. Only here do we cheer like this. That's because there's nothing else, nowhere else, like the Victorian Spring Racing Carnival.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne race. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Time for the best bets and the quaddies there at Sandown this afternoon with our team. David Gately, take it away with your best bets, please, and then a quaddie.
All right, mate, race four, number two, Zuzarella, our best bet. Quaddie-wise, floating out of Dr. Drill, Skyman, 517. Two only, Zaki. Thirdly, 2-6, 5-8. Coming home with 8, 3, 11, 13, 17, 15.
We'll take a quick break there, Gate. I'll catch up with you just after 9 o'clock with Lizzie Jellison and Tommy Berry for the preview of the Golden Rose meeting.
Roger.
Dean Lester, your best bets. Quaddy, please. We need Leanne's multi, and you're in charge of the Punters Club today.
Well, my best, Gareth, is Floating Artist, race 6, number 5. The value is cooled, race 3, number 9. The Quaddy and the Punters Club go hand in hand. We're going to take a $100 Quaddy, so in, with Zaki one out, so you know, hoping to get more than $130 back to make it a bit of value. In the first leg of the Quaddy, race 6, numbers 1, 3, 5 and 7. Obviously, Zaki one out in the second leg, number 2. In the third leg, 1, 2, 6, 8 and 9, and come home on numbers 3, 11, 13, 15 and 16. Leanne's multi, good to see she's finally come around to the Melbourne way of thinking. She's going with Zaki into the Melbourne Storm, into the Melbourne Demons for a multi of $2.83.
There you go. Smart punting there from Leanne. What about the Golden Rose there for you this afternoon, Dino?
I'd have thrown Animo into that one, Gareth. I think he'll win. He's a star. It'll be interesting to see Remark on a dry track. Artorias, second go in Sydney, and has been maybe building his fitness. But I thought Animo was the softest of wins first up. Margin wasn't great, But you just watch the close-up. James McDonald had very little pressure on that horse, and I think he'll win the Golden Rose.
So we might see the 1,000 Guineas and the Caulfield Guineas winners today then, Dino?
Yeah, there's a fair chance that'll happen.
Tip in the grand final?
Melbourne, it'll be I think, under about 15 points, and Christian Petrarca for the Norm Smith.
You're a beautiful man. Enjoy your day, Dino.
Thanks, Gareth.
Warren Huntley, your best bet, value and a quality, please, plus the Norm Smith tip and who wins the grand final as well.
That's a lot on my plate, Gareth. Yeah. I'll do my best. Linus Legend, my best for me, race 3, number 3. Similar strategy to the boys trying to get value out of Zaki, one out in the quaddie. First leg, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. Second leg, 2 only. Third leg, 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. Last leg, numbers 3, 11, 13, and 15. Not a lot of value throughout the day. I thought Hasseltoff was one you could play each way in the last, but he's an equal favourite at about $5. So not a lot of value there. I'm cheering for the Demons. I like both clubs, Gareth, but I do think if Max Gawn can have an influence, then Melbourne can win. My late mum was a lifetime Melbourne supporter, so I'd love to see the Demons win a flag and cheer on the red and the blue. Norm Smith, I'll go with Clayton Oliver. I think he might just get very busy and get a lot of the ball as he normally does.
The Golden Rose?
Can't go against Animo there. He looks to be a class above, and it has come back well. You might be right. We might be watching both the Caulfield Guineas and the 1,000 Guineas winners in different states today.
You're a star, Warren. Looking forward to Correct Weight from 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Gareth.
There we go. There's Warren Huntley. It's quickly approaching 9 o'clock. Just after 9 o'clock, it's a Sydney preview. Tommy Berry will be joining us alongside our regulars, David Gately and Lizzie Gels, as we preview that Rose Hill meeting. It's right on 9 o'clock. Here's Johnny Bowden with the news.